Well, if you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, please. And before I go any further, I have an announcement that I need to make, that at next week we have sunrise service at 6:30. And if you come to this service, you will have missed it because we only have the 9 o'clock next week. So you're invited to that one if you would like to see the rest of us, if you'd like to worship the Lord with us. In reflecting on discipleship and both discipling somebody else or in being disciples ourselves, we've kind of reflected on the what does it mean? What is it? How did Jesus choose the disciples? What is it that he was teaching them? How was he going about teaching them? And so today what I want to do is take a look at a little bit of what our responsibility as Christians is. Because whether we're discipling somebody else or not, whether we're intending to disciple somebody or not, we are definitely sending them a message as to what it looks like to be a Christian. And sometimes we will walk in ways that are a little bit more conducive to doing that, and sometimes we walk in a way that makes that a little bit of a challenge. But Paul is addressing this with the Corinthians, and as we know, the Corinthians had a little bit of a hard time with being mature. And so they had some philosophies that they were following that weren't exactly God's philosophies. They were following men and not God. And so in chapter 4, Paul is laying out what is it really to be a teacher, a discipler, but it's also a responsibility that disciples have. Verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it's required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. But to me, it's very little thing that it may be examined by you or by any human court. In fact, I don't even examine myself, for I am conscious of nothing against myself, yet I am not by this acquitted. But the one who examines me is the Lord. Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts. And then each man's praise will come to him from God." So if we look at this, words a lot of times, sometimes if we don't understand the exact meaning of a word, it's not quite as impactful. But sometimes words have impactful intent behind them, and this is one of the cases where they do. Verse 1, "Let a man regard us in this manner as servants." That's the first word. The word servant here, I can't even pretend to pronounce it, so I won't try. But the connotation is one of an under rower. In other words, on the ships, they had people rowing the boat. So this is somebody who's an under rower. It's the lowest, most despised position on a ship. It's working in the bottommost area of the ship. So Paul is saying this is the humility that we should approach being a Christian, being a follower of Christ with, that we are servants of his, setting aside anything of our own sense of who we wish to be viewed as, and saying, no, I'm going to serve you, period. And stewards is the next word. The steward is one trusted with the affairs, the assets, the valuables, even in cases the children of another household or business. So a steward was literally given free rein in a house because they were so trusted. And they were expected to... Are you familiar with the word fiduciary in finance? A fiduciary, no matter what, is supposed to do what is in your best interests. In other words, a fiduciary should not be selling something they're going to make commissions off of. Should be totally focused on what is best for you. So when I think of steward, I think of fiduciary, that responsibility of taking care. And we're going to see what it is that he's going to take care of in this next word. Stewards of the mysteries of God. Mystery is God's fully revealed truths. In other words, we're expected to handle, accurately handling, as Paul would say in 2 Timothy, accurately handling the word of truth. The mysteries are that which had not been revealed yet, but had been revealed. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you're reading scripture, you're studying scripture, you're learning scripture, you think you have a pretty good handle on what it is that it's saying. But one day the Lord just opens your eyes and you go, wow, that's deep. That's something only God can do. We can intellectually understand scripture, but until the Spirit in you says, here, now you understand it at a completely different level, okay? So it's these mysteries that we are to be good stewards of. Verse 2, in this case, moreover, it's required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. That trustworthy is being faithful, worthy of being trusted, obedient to the master. So again, accurately dividing the word of truth is trustworthy. As a Christian, we need to be cautious that we're not using the Bible as a proof text to support or validate my opinions. Okay? Because sometimes we can think, well, this sounds right, and we'll go searching for a passage that we can use to validate that, when in fact we're having to pull it completely out of context in order to do it. So as Christians, as disciples, as disciplers, we have to make sure that what it is that we're speaking, the way that we're living, is the way God intended it to be, and not take liberalities with the way that we're putting it out there. Make sense? Okay, so we're to be trustworthy. But to me, it's a very small thing that I may be examined by you or by any human court. In fact, I don't even examine myself. Paul's not being arrogant here. What he's saying is that my concern is, how does Christ see me? How does the Lord view me? Because if I'm desiring to live and please him, then that darts are going to come my way. But if I'm sure that I'm living in the manner that he is guiding me in, if I'm making my decisions based on, Lord, what would you have me to do? Paul's saying, I don't care how anybody judges me. But he makes an interesting point in the next verse. He says, for I'm conscious of nothing against myself, yet I am not by this acquitted, but the one who examines me and the Lord. In other words, I have a clear conscience in the things that I'm doing. However, having a clear conscience isn't the end-all be-all, because I can be operating in the flesh and think that I'm living in a way that is pleasing to him, when in fact I'm not, because I have looked at something because of an earthly, fleshly desire. I want to be able to do something. I want to be able to justify it. And so I go to scripture and I kind of do that. So Paul is saying, just because I feel a clear conscience doesn't mean I'm acquitted. This is one of the reasons why we have trusted people that we can go to and say, hey, listen, I'm struggling with this right now. You know, can you help me? What does it mean when it says? Okay, so I'm not by this acquitted. Therefore, verse 5, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts. Then each man's praise will come to him from God. In other words, the inner motives, the thoughts, the attitudes, which only God can know, will be the basis of God's praise in the end. The elevation of the Son of God is God's alone to do. We are not called to pass judgment on people. Now, Scripture does say that we are to judge, but we're not to pass judgment. In other words, we are to have discernment in certain situations and say, I'm going to choose not to participate in that. I'm going to choose not to participate with ones who continually do these things. So we are to have discernment in who we're going to associate with, but we're not called to pass judgments. Judgment, that is God and God alone to do. So as we look at how do we walk, the admonition is look at the Word. What does the Word say? What does the Word mean to me? How should I be behaving given what the Word says? And then to do that, look to please the Lord and not those around us. Father, we come before you, Lord, and we do thank you that you have made it so clear to us. Lord, you do reveal the mysteries, your mysteries to us. And Lord, how amazing it is when you open up the eyes of our heart and we see something we've never seen before. And Lord, when that happens, that's something that we can own. No matter what comes against that statement, no matter who is disapproving of the way that we're walking, once this has been revealed to us, we can hold tight that we are walking in a manner that is pleasing to you. And we thank you for that. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.